It makes an enormous difference. And I want to try to begin to consider that. Some of you know about the Dalits in India, the untouchables. They are considered ritually unclean forever. There's nothing that can be done to the Dalits in India to make them clean. There's a caste system, which I know that you know about, which has persisted for a very long time, thousands of years. And it's divided into several castes, the top of which is the Brahmin class, the priests of the religion. And virtually everyone in India is born into one of these castes, whether it's a worker, an administrator, or a warrior, a Brahmin, whatever, they're born into one of those castes, and they remain in that caste for their entire lives. You can't leave the caste that you're born into. It's believed that it's just like, you know, the color hair you're born with, the color skin. You don't leave the caste you were born into. And it's believed that where you are born is a result of what you did in your previous life. And so if you have really advanced in a previous life, then you move up in the caste system, the topmost of which is the Brahmin class, the priestly class. The Dalits, the untouchables, the unclean, are not the bottom caste. They are outside of the caste system. They are lower than the lowest in the caste system. They're not allowed to live where caste Hindus live. And the kinds of jobs they're allowed to have are cleaning toilets. That kind of thing, because it's ritually unclean. And so those who are permanently unclean do that. And there's nothing that they can do to change their state. If you were to talk to a Dalit, some of them would even agree that who they are, as untouchables, as unclean, is who they must always be, who they were intended to be. They would not say, I don't want to be an untouchable, I want to move up in the caste system. They would say, this is who I am. They have identified with how they have been described and treated. There's even a story of one Dalit who, by dint of circumstance and effort, managed to get himself educated, actually became a judge in the Indian courts. And the Indian Constitution, by the way, to its credit, outlaws the caste system. It's ignored, but the good illustration of how legislating something doesn't change behavior. So although it's outlawed by the Constitution, it's still fully in force. And so one of these Dalits became a judge in the Indian court system. And after he retired, another judge, a Brahmin, took over the office that this man had occupied for many years and immediately had it cleaned with water from the river Ganges because he considered that room ritually unclean. Now, we look at this from a distance and think, oh, how could they treat each other that way? How could they behave that way? And yet we do the same thing. The castes are not so clearly defined. There may be more mobility here, but they still exist. Look at England. For centuries, you were born into the landed class or into the serf class. If your father was a man's man, his father before him was a man's man, and your identity came from being a man's man. That means a servant to one of the landed gentry. And it never occurred to you that you could be one of the others, one of the landed gentry. And in fact, if you had any aspirations to that, you were looked at with utter disdain that you could imagine that you could do something like that. The same thing happens in this country. Look at the caste system we have. People who are middle class or upper class, better to do, look at people who live in trailers, because that's what they can afford, and what are they called? Trailer trash, right? Trailer trash. and they see someone struggling to get out of those circumstances and rise up through the social ranks or the corporate ranks or the financial ranks, and what do they say? Just trailer trash, getting too big for his britches, thinks he's better than he is, doesn't he realize where he was born, doesn't he remember? The trailer trash look at people in management and they refer to them as the suits that never get their hands dirty. Right? So every caste looks at every other caste with disdain. The trailer trash, to use that expression, look at someone of their own kind trying to advance and they criticize them. Who does he think he is? He thinks they're going to accept him? Doesn't he know who he is and where he came from? And of course, then the rich people say, oh, well, even if they've succeeded, they're nouveau riche. You know, they don't really understand what it is to have wealth that crosses over generations. And the noblesse oblige, the obligation of the nobles to serve society. Now, why does this matter? It has a lot to do with Jesus Christ. Everything. I had a dream last night. Literally true, I had a dream last night. When I went to bed, I prayed, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to preach about tomorrow. A common prayer for me. And I had this dream. I found myself in a little Christian bookstore. Oh, maybe an eighth the size of this room, not large. And there was a proprietor there, also a Christian, who sold, you know, Christian books and items and so on. And there were a bunch of people in the bookstore looking at things. And I went over and asked him, and I said, would it be okay if I shared with the folks here in the bookstore who they are in Jesus Christ? Who they really are in Jesus Christ as Christians, as believers? And he said, no, that'd be okay. Go right ahead. And so I began talking to these folks, and I said, do you realize who we are as believers? Do you realize that Scripture says that we are priests? Jesus is the great high priest, but we are priests, and we serve as priests. And I talked to them even about some of the language behind the words that we use in English and how that's really what Scripture says, that not just the guys who get ordained or the women who get ordained, but the average regular believer, the average regular believer is a priest. My enthusiasm for this extraordinary truth was met at best with disinterest. It was like, it just wasn't believable. Couldn't possibly be true, and people just sort of kept on doing what they were doing. Only two people in the whole group there even asked another question or two, and those were sort of, you know, dismissive. One woman said, well, is there like a book that I could read about some of this somewhere? And I realized that what these folks were experiencing is exactly what many of the Dalits believe about themselves, what many of the caste Hindus believe about the caste they're born into. It's what the man's man believes about himself as a servant of a true gent. It's what trailer trash, quote unquote, believe about themselves, and rich people believe about themselves. You are what you were born. You're still that. Don't aspire to anything else. There is no way to get beyond who it is you think you were born to be. That's it. You're done. And so all of this nonsense that this person in the bookstore is telling us about being priests and children of the Most High God, you know, those are just, it can't be real. Isaiah 61 Verse 3, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, for the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. That's who you are. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He doesn't leave you oppressed. He lifts you up. He lifts me up. We're not left where we thought we were. Ephesians 1:4, beginning in verse 4. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 4. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he has purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. Verse 9, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It's a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. Verse 13, and now you have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church, that means us, is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything, everywhere, with his presence. And we imagine that as members of the body of Christ, we are still what we were. We are still what we were. When God looks at us, brothers and sisters, he does not see sin. He sees Jesus Christ. If we have accepted him as Savior and Lord, when he looks at us, he sees the glory of his Son. Jesus said that. He said, I give them my glory. Do you think he was kidding? So when we look at ourselves, when we look at the wonderful gift that's been given us, should we say, oh well, maybe it's true for some people, but I'm still really not that worthy. I'm not really a son or daughter of the Most High God. You know, maybe in some metaphorical sense, in some philosophical sense, but really, you know, there isn't
Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. And it was only right that God, who made everything and for whom everything was made, should bring His many children into glory. Through the suffering of Jesus, God made Him a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That's you. It's me. It's believers. Romans 8. Since Christ lives within you, even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit is alive because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Do we imagine that a power, the power of the Holy Spirit, so great that it can overcome death and the grave, is incapable of lifting us from the sorry state in which we were to believe, to be brothers and sisters of Christ and children of the Most High God? Oh, well, He can raise Jesus from the dead, but me, I'm still just miserable. And I'm going to stay miserable because that's who I am. I was born that way. I'm going to stay that way. I'm going to die that way. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe it. Romans 8. Verse 13. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, turn from the world and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. Believe it. Galatians 4, verse 2. Before Christ came, we were slaves to the power of this world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because you Gentiles have become His children, that is, all of you who are not born Jews, in other words, Jews and everyone else, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And now you can call God your dear Father. You are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, everything He has belongs to you. Before you knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. And now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual powers of this world? Why would we want to do that? The Dalits in India, I was just reminded, have recently declared that they consider themselves, some of them at least, they consider themselves no longer a part of the Hindu system. They're not even in the castes. So in a sense, they've always been outside of it. And they've been given freedom, permission, to become Buddhists or to become Christians if they choose, without repercussions. if they simply allow the Son of God to come into their hearts, if they simply allow Him to be Savior, they become not untouchables, not outcasts, but princes and princesses, brothers and sisters of the Son of God, children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, priests of the Most High God. Priests not because they were born Brahmin, but priest because they accepted the Son of God as their Lord. It's true for every one of us. We don't have to have been born an untouchable in India. We can be born a lower class, middle class, upper class American. We can be born a Frenchman or a French woman or from Belgium or Singapore, from Australia. Doesn't matter. We are no longer slaves of so-called gods, but rather we are sons and daughters and priests. Every word used to describe believers shows them being drawn up. Jesus is lifted up above all powers, and He draws all of the believers up to be with Him. We need to not refuse. We need to not stay. We need to not any longer believe the lie that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of being healed. I'm not worthy of being a believer. I'm stuck here. The power that raised Jesus from the dead can unstick any one of us. And we need not to believe the lie any longer that we're trash, that we're unclean, that we're untouchable, but believe the truth that we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Claim it, because it's true. It's not a thing that I assert in the mirror hoping that I'll somehow lift myself up by the bootstraps. It's declared by Scripture that it's true. You are priests of the Most High God. Believe it. Act like it.